Amen. The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The Bible says that the Lord is perfect, and his statutes are trustworthy. So this morning, you can be rest assured in your soul that the words that Sean speaks today are perfect and they are trustworthy, and they will refresh your soul. In Psalm 139:13, the Lord says that he created my inmost being. He knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise him, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. He knit us together. God knows us intimately. He knows all of your inward parts. He knows you before you were born, and he knit you together in your mother's womb. It's amazing. The Bible says that who knows how God forms those bones in the womb of a mother? It's a mystery. And it's not ours to know and to understand all of God's ways, but we just have to trust his ways and believe that he is a God that is for us. He's not against us. Amen. His ways are good. He's perfect and he's trustworthy. So today I just want you to know that you can trust him in your innermost being. You can trust him inside of your soul. And I've known God my whole life. I went to church every Sunday as a little girl. But I had to come to that place where I began to understand him intimately and have that relationship with him. And that wasn't until I was about 20 years old that I actually surrendered my life. And I knew it is well with my soul.
Come on.
I knew God. I knew he was good. I knew he created the earth. I knew all these things about him. But it wasn't until I just surrendered inside of myself and my soul and gave him everything that I realized that, you know, God has a plan and a purpose, an amazing plan and a purpose. So we just want you to know today that God has an amazing plan and a purpose, even in this hour, this moment, that you can trust him with your soul. And I just want to read one more verse. In Psalm 19:7, I think I already read that one, right? The statutes of the Lord are perfect. But amen. We're just going to pray for Sean today, and we're just going to believe that everyone that hears these words would just turn to Jesus today, and that you would surrender your life. You might know God, but you need to be born again. And so we just pray that for you all today, that if you don't know for sure about your soul, where you go when that last day comes and you pass from this life to the next life, that you would become born again. So we just thank you, Father. We thank you for this day. For you, O Lord, have made this day. We rejoice in you. Our souls rejoice in you today, Lord God. And we just pray over Sean, Lord, that you, O God, would touch his mouth, that the words that he speaks would come from your heart, the Father God who is in heaven, that every word he speaks, Lord, you would anoint, Father, that, Lord, you would open ears, that you would open blind eyes, Father, that the deaf would hear, Lord God, that this word would fall on good, soft hearts today, Lord, that you would soften hearts, every heart that is listening today, Lord. And we do come before your throne boldly today, Lord. And we pray that every heart that hears this word today, Lord God, will be saved in Jesus' name, Lord God. We pray boldly, Lord God, that you, O God, are bringing people to repentance and deliverance and salvation today in the name of Jesus. And we just thank you for the word of God. We thank you that Sean will rightly divide the word of God today, Lord God, that he would bring forth truth for all to hear, every nation, every place, Lord God, where this word goes out, Father God, that it would fall on good soil, on good hearts, Lord God, and that your word does not return void, that it will accomplish that which it is purpose to do, and we just thank you in Jesus' name. We trust you and we love you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, baby. I'm so tall. Look at me. You have to like get on your tippy toes to kiss me. It's amazing.
Okay.
People love your hat. It's a camo hat. I didn't really knew that, Renee. That's camo.
Yes.
And I wear a camo when I hunt.
Oh yes. When he hunts, he wears all his camo.
That's amazing. I love you
love
so
you.
Much. Thank you, baby. Bye. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Come on, I want you to lean in. Ah, it's just, man, I don't know where you're at. Maybe you're in your living room or your kitchen or your bedroom, but there truly is just a presence in this room with just a few of us in this house, man, where two or three are gathered. And even when you are flying solo, man, even when you're flying solo and you're alone, God is with you. He is with you. And there is just a beautiful presence here in this room. I mean, I just want to share, honestly, heart today, my heart, and just where we're at in this season, where we're at. And we would come to a place to, and you've heard me say it, man, I don't want just a moment, man. I want to take advantage as the church. I want to take advantage as Christ followers, that you and I are called to go make disciples. That is our command. And that, man, my concern that we come out of this season and we've just been filled with a bunch of fluff. And when we come out of this season, everything just goes back to the way it was. Man, I want to walk in a place, honestly, through this season, through the moments that we're in, that it really turns into something way more than that. So much more than a moment. So much more than just a moment. That it really turns into a movement. It really turns into really turning things around in individuals, in families, in businesses, in schools, in our government, in our nation, that things begin to shift from just moments to a real movement. And a movement is a revival. And for revival, you need repentance. I need you to hear this. I need you to hear this. Come on, everybody, if you're watching, just say, I'm listening. And I need you to hear this. So say, come on, I'm listening. I'm ready. I'm listening. I'm listening. I'm listening. Come on, I'm listening. I'm ready. I'm ready. Come on, I miss Brian and Gina Mansfield right up the front. They get me going, man. I miss you guys. Can't wait to the front row to get my juices flowing. Doesn't take much, but I miss you guys. Amen. Come on. But I need you to hear this today. Because it is our command to go and make disciples. And I don't, I want, we want to take advantage. Listen, please, we want to take advantage of the season that we are in. That we walk out of this thing seeing a revival. And it can't be a revival based on fluff. Revivals only happen when there's true repentance. And man, we're gonna go to John 6, if you could turn to John 6 for me, but there's this amazing story in John 4 where Jesus goes through Samaria and he finds this Samaritan woman at the well. You know the story, the woman at the well. And Jesus talks to this Samaritan woman. And listen, he goes into this amazing discussion of, hey, could you give me some water? And I'm the living water. And she's like, okay, that's a little weird. What do you mean you're the living water? And he's like, listen, I need you to go get your husband. You know the story, John 4. And she's like, actually, I don't have a husband. He's like, no, actually, you've had five. And it's so funny, people actually feel bad for her. I'm like, maybe she's the issue. I'm just saying, married five times. I don't know. But then he says, listen, the one that you're living with now is not your husband. Isn't it amazing that it was completely, watch this now. If you read John 4, the Bible says he went the long way around to go through Samaria, and his disciples were like, why are we going this way? And he set his face to go through a land that he wasn't welcome in, to find this woman at a well, all on purpose. And what does he bring out? hey, you're living in sin. Isn't it amazing he gets right to the point? And she was so, watch this, you got to see this. She was so amazed at him. He didn't come punch her in the face. He didn't come all angry and yelling about sin. He just simply came and pointed her in direction, said, hey, the way you're living ain't right. And she was so amazed at his tone, at his demeanor, at his compassion, at his love for her, as his understanding of calling things out in her. She was so amazed. She went back to the city and told everybody about this man at the well. And then when you see the story, the Bible says that the whole city came out to see the one that she was talking about. The Bible says many, many became his followers that day. And it's great because when the disciples finally showed up, they were out shopping for some food and they finally showed up and they were like, why is he talking to this Samaritan woman? Why is he talking to this woman, but why is he talking to this Samaritan woman? And then Jesus says, hey, guys, lift your eyes up. Look right over there. For the field is white unto harvest. And the women had left at this point, gone to the city. And Jesus is like, listen, pay attention, look over here. Hey, guys, look. And as they looked, they saw the whole city coming to Jesus. This is what I believe, man. I believe we are in a season that the fields are white unto harvest, but it has to start with calling out sin. Compassionately, lovingly, gracefully. Because I don't want this to be a fluff movement, man. It has to be a movement based on faith. It has to be a movement, a revival based on the holiness of God. And knowing what it means to walk in a true fear of God, this holy reverence, this respect to who God is, that his opinion is the only one that matters. And this is where we need to get it, man. This is where we need ground level stuff, man. We need a foundation of our faith. Is it's God and God alone through Jesus Christ. It's his opinion. It's his commandments. What does God say about it? I'm not concerned one inch what popular view is. I don't give a flip about what political view is. Please hear me on this. The only view that matters is God's. And it's only through his view. Watch this. It's only through his truth that you can really have a revival. It's only through his truth that you can come to a place to know Jesus as Lord and Savior. There is no other option. Don't buy into the fluff. Buy into faith. And if you know, watch this. If you know that you've been walking in a place of sin, no, God loves you. Why do we worship the way we do? Because God loves us even in our sin. Because of our sin, Jesus came, put himself on a cross. And man, we get that. I want to be able to say, hey, look over there. Look at all the people. Man, the fields are white unto harvest. Look at all the people coming to Jesus. And it's on the foundation of repentance. We're not here worrying about everyone else's opinion or popular opinion or this sense of well, all these people are swaying over to this side of the fence. I don't care about how many people. I care about the truth. Listen, the Lord says in Matthew 7 that, listen, narrow is the way. If you want to go the way of the crowds, good luck. Narrow is the way that leads to the gate to eternal life. It's narrow. Few find it. Please hear me. Don't follow the crowds. Please hear me. Don't follow popular view. Don't follow public view. Don't follow political view. Follow God's view in this. Man, there's this amazing book written by Kyle Idleman, and it's entitled Not a Fan. And I started reading this book. And then I loved it, and someone wanted it, and I gave it away, and I haven't picked it up yet. Please don't send me the book. I've already got it picked up. You guys are so amazing. I have 45 books here on Tuesday. I don't need the book. I've got one. I just got to re-pick it up. And it's an amazing book of the difference between a fan of Christ and a follower of Christ. Huge difference. those who came to a place to say, oh, I see your miracles, and I see your healings, and I see how you fed 5,000, and it's easy. Listen, it's easy to be a fan of Jesus because he is so good. But as soon as Jesus said it's time to repent from sin, and it's time to go from the fan club to being a follower, which means surrender, which really means I give up my right of my opinion and I follow hard after truth. That's what it means to follow Christ. And this is what I so desperately want. Please hear this, man. Lean into this thing. This is what I want. I want so many today, this morning, wherever you're at, or maybe you're watching this a month from now, later today, tomorrow, this week. Man, I want there to be a shift that goes from a fan to a follower. I want there to be a shift today for when I say, listen, it's no longer my opinion. I'm not going to follow the crowds. I'm not going after public opinion. I'm going after what Jesus said. I'm going after his opinion is the only one that matters. I am putting on the biblical lenses, and I'm only seeing things through Bible eyes. What does God say about it? It's not that difficult. He's made this so simple. Why is it so confusing for so many? Because there's so many who want to reject truth and live their own way. That's why. And they want to, listen, this is a spiritual battle, man. The enemy wants to convince as many people as he possibly can convince to do it their way. And I need to convince you there's only one way, and it's not yours. And it's not the politics. And it's not the popular view. It's the narrow road. And that's Jesus' way. But it's amazing he's made it so simple. Repent from sin. Believe that Jesus is the only way. Confess that he is Lord. Surrender to him. No longer a fan, but I come to a place to be a follower. Come on, here we go. I want you to turn to John 6 because I want you to see this. This is an amazing, amazing place where you, watch this, you see a separation from fan and follower. You see a separation from the large crowds that's brought narrow down to the 12. It's amazing. It's perfect. And listen, if we are going to come to a place, please hear this, lean into this. If we are going to come to a place to see revival, and I'm talking worldwide because the scare right now is worldwide, but I'm talking about our nation. I'm talking about our city and our region, which God has blessed us with. I'm talking about New York State is what we live in. Pennsylvania is our neighbor, amazing neighbors. I'm talking about the United States of America. I'm talking about a nation that would come back to truth again. I'm talking about a nation that would come to a place to say abortion's murder. I want to come back to a place, to a nation that says, listen, you gotta figure some things out, because you gotta ask yourself a very real question. Are we being misled? Because you have, watch this. Now, I'm being real with you today. Fluff or faith? We're speaking faith. You have a nation, and you have some of our government officials tried to put money into for more abortions. By the way, for some reason, they're claimed to be essential, which we can't gather here today as church being essential, but somehow, some way, abortion clinics are open because killing a baby is essential. Is that okay? But yeah, they try to sneak money into bills that are supposed to, money's supposed to go towards this COVID-19. They're putting money towards abortion clinics. Praise the Lord, it got caught and got completely destroyed and actually shows some very true colors in certain individuals in our government. You better wake up. This, again, I don't want to come out of this thing with just fluff, man. We got to come out of this thing. If we want to see a real move in our nation again, there has to be a call to repentance. Listen, the third largest denomination in our country is about to split because they can't decide whether gay marriage is godly or not. Well, just read just a little bit. It doesn't take much to figure out God made marriage. The institute of marriage is sacred and holy and honorable and value, and it represents Christ in the church. And it is a male and a female. And we stand our ground on that. For anybody to think otherwise, it's sin. It's not okay. And for churches to split over it, popular view. They got so caught up into what everyone else thinks. They lost sight. Stay focused. Stay focused. They lost sight of what God already said. Marriage was rooted in the roots of creation. Genesis 1 and Genesis 2. Can't miss it. Can't mess it up. All through Scripture, marriage is rooted in throughout all of His Word as a male and a female. It is a picture of God in the church. Be fruitful and multiply. Impossible command. If it's a man and a man and a woman and a woman, we could go on and on and on, but it's a sliver, man. You got to figure it out. Come on, before we get into fan versus follower, this is another thing, and it comes to this place. Please hear this. The difference between lazy and poor. There is an enormous biblical difference between the lazy and the poor. We're not just going to talk about abortion. We're just not going to talk about gay marriage. There's the reality of there's this greed that takes place. Americans became greedy. And we forgot what it was to be generous as a command. And then this nation has become a lazy nation. That people stopped working because they could get free money. Isn't it amazing? 2 Thessalonians 3 says, if you don't work, you don't eat. Put that over social services. See how that goes in popular view. There's a difference between poor. It is those who can't work. It's those who can't go out and labor. Our heart here in this place is very much towards the single mom who's been deserted. The single mom who's doing everything she possibly can to raise her kids. Our heart here at BC are those who are poor, not the lazy. If you're lazy and you can work and you don't bother. Not here. There's so much. And I'm telling you, man, if we truly want a move of God in this season, it has to be based on a true repentance. That's where revival begins. And revival has to begin where we discard public view or popular view or political view. And we stay focused. Watch this. We stay focused on one view. Not mine and not yours, God's view. And if yours lines up completely in obedience to His commands, your view has to become His view. It's amazing. It isn't difficult. But come on, BC, we don't want fluff. It is our assignment to preach truth. It is our assignment that you would come to know Christ as Lord and Savior on His terms. That's huge. We've tried to do it on our terms, and it never works. Come on, I love you, and I want you to come to Christ, but it has to be on His terms. It has to be on His terms. Repent and believe. That was Jesus' message. When Jesus preached the kingdom, when He went into the synagogues, when He had the corner and He had the views and He stood on the mountain, what did Jesus preach? Repent and believe. It was the first thing He preached. Repent and believe. Repent and believe. John the Baptist, repent and believe. Repent and believe. And then in that, watch this, in that there is such freedom. There is such joy to know my sins are free and I am clear and they are covered and they are forgiven in Jesus' name by the blood of the Son of God. My sins have been forgiven. And this is why we celebrate and this is why we worship. We've come to a place to be a follower of Jesus based on His terms. I love this because in John 6, hear this please, John 6, it's this amazing, amazing story. Where Jesus has this large crowd and they're following Jesus and they're coming after Jesus. And Jesus is just building up some momentum in the ministry. He's building up a group of followers. They love the miracles. They talk about Him. His name is getting out there. And everyone's like, oh, I gotta see Jesus. And they begin to follow Jesus, right? And this large crowd is coming. And then Jesus drops a bomb on them. And He goes into this whole thing about I am the bread of life. And this is right after He fed the 5,000, right? With loaves and fishes. It's an amazing. And here they're following Jesus because they wanted more food. And Jesus said, listen, I'm the bread of life. Yes, you got food, you got loaves, you got fishes. Even Moses in the wilderness, they got the manna from heaven. And then, but listen, the reality is this, I'm the bread of life. You're only here because you've seen me do that miracle and you're hungry. And he goes, he drops a bomb on him and says, listen, you need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And this wasn't a sense, please hear this. He was, you gotta understand John 6. He wasn't talking about cannibalism. It wasn't like, okay, eat my pinky. Like, that wasn't his idea. He's metaphoric and saying, listen, it's gotta be all me, and you have to come to this place of total surrender. It's not the signs, it's not the wonders, it's not the food, it's me. You can't have eternal life without me. That's what he was saying. And when he dropped the bombshell on all of his fans, it's time to cross the line to complete surrender. It's time to cross this line of going from a fan to a follower. And Jesus was calling him out in this moment saying, listen, what's it gonna be? Are you gonna ditch the whole popular view, and are you gonna cross the line to say, Jesus, it's you and it's only you, and I'm crossing this line to say I'm all in? Let's pick it up. I'm gonna pick it up in verse 60. It says this, therefore many of his disciples, when they heard this, said, this is John 6, verse 60. When they heard this, said, this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? Like, Jesus was just, he was preaching. Now, man, he was getting it. He was getting it. I love it because he drops the bombshell going, listen, this isn't about physical food. I'm the bread of life. You need to eat my flesh and drink my blood. And they're like, oh, hold on. And Jesus was talking about total surrender. Jesus was talking about, it's my way or the hell highway. That's the truth. It's Jesus' way or the hell highway. And their response to this is a difficult statement. Who can listen to it? But Jesus, conscious that his disciples grumbled at this, his followers, and at this, and Jesus said to them, does this cause you to stumble? I love where Jesus just gets so straight, man. Does this cause you to stumble? What then if you see the Son of Man ascending to where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life, and the flesh profits nothing. The words that I have spoken to you are spirit and life. I'm not talking about physical food. He says, I'm dealing with your eternity, and I'm dealing with your soul, and you can only be one in the Spirit by the Spirit. This is what he says. I have spoken to you are spirit and life, but there are some of you who do not believe. You got to remember, these were already classified as disciples. Those who claimed, watch this now, claimed to be followers of Jesus. You can make a claim to be a follower of Jesus all you want to. But when the rubber meets the road of the truth of eternity, I don't ever want to be responsible for leading you to be a fan. This is so real right now. I'm accountable to every person that hears this message, whether it's 200 or 200,000. I'm accountable. I'm accountable to the people who call this place home. On a weekly basis, you call this your church. I'm accountable to you. I won't stand before you one day. I stand before the creator of the universe in judgment and how I led the people that he entrusted me to. And if I have led you to just be a fan, we have missed. And these were those who declared to be a follower of Christ, disciples. And when Jesus spoke such straight truth, all in, my way, my flesh, my blood, my spirit, my way leads to eternal life. You, you, you be, he began to see the difference between his fans and his followers. Watch this. But there are some of you who do not believe. Verse 64. For Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe, even who it was that would betray him. Talking about Judas Iscariot. Verse 65. And he was saying, I love this. And he was saying, for this reason I have said to you that no one can come to me unless it has been granted to him of the Father. And the Bible says that God draws all people to himself. It's up to us to reject or deny. Verse 66. As a result of this, watch this. As a result of this, many of his disciples withdrew and were not walking with him anymore. Many of those who claimed, who watches, claimed to be his followers, claimed a disciple means a follower. Those who claimed to be his followers said, too much for me. I'm out. I'm done. I can't even imagine that scene. They've got life right in front of them. John 11, Jesus says, listen, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even if he dies. They had life right in front of them. Done. Not for me. Too much. I'm out. And they turned their back on the one who is life. And they walked away. Fan. Those are fans. That's the narrow road. And it leads to eternal destruction. But here it is, and this is where I want this shift to take place. Come on, I need you right with me. I need you right with me. Are you with me? Come on, are you with me? Watch this, watch this. This is amazing. Look what Jesus does. He knows what's going to take place. He know who were fans of his and who were the true followers of his. Listen, watch me. Are you with me? Come on, somebody say, I'm with you. 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 Come on, get this, please. Watch this. Verse 67, I love this. Then Jesus says to the 12, you've got the large crowd. And many of them are like, nope, I'm out. And they turn their back on life. And Jesus says to his 12, you do not want to go away also, do you? I love it. He turns to his 12. You got this whole crowd turning and leaving. And Jesus comes back to his 12. You going anywhere? Hey, you don't want to leave either, do you? And then my man Peter. You love him or you hate him. We're called to love him, but then you see him in a lot of things that he does. You're like, ah, but this is one of his moments. This is one of his moments that you're just like, oh, I love this guy. I love this guy. I want to be this guy. This is one of those moments in Peter. You're like, oh, I love him. Dad, look at him go. I love this. He says this. Verse 68, Jesus 67 says, hey, you guys going anywhere? You want to follow the large crowd? And then my man Peter, love him in this moment. I want to be him in this moment. Simon Peter answers, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. This is what we know. We know that you, Christ, have the words to eternal life. Look what he says. Watch this. Verse 69 is amazing. We have believed and have come to know that you are the Holy One of God. You are the Christ. This is what he says. We have believed. Listen, we're past fanhood. We're beyond just being fans. We have come to believe. And we know that you are the Christ. That you are the Holy One of God. Where else are we going to turn? In that moment, there was a shift to say, we're not going to follow the crowds. We're not going to go after public opinion. We're not going to follow popular view. Because Jesus, you have the words of eternal life. We have come to believe. Here it is. Here it is. Here it is. Get it. We have come to believe. And we have come to know that you, Jesus Christ, are the Holy One of God. Jesus, you're the only answer. Jesus, you're it. And Jesus puts himself on a cross to be the payment for our sin, that you and I would come to a place to repent and only see it his way and be fearless. Come on, I got just only a couple minutes. Katie, thank you for hanging with me. Come on, turn to Matthew 7, please. Matthew 7. And I want to put Ecclesiastes up, please. Ecclesiastes 12. And this is from Solomon, the wisest man to ever walk the planet, minus Jesus Christ. And he goes through, he's one of the sons of David, and he goes through this life of having everything, struggling, going through this life of walking under. Watch this. He walked under his father David, who was a man after God's own heart. He walked under seeing how his dad did things, seeing how his dad walked in a place to have this reverence and this fear and this worship and this praise of Almighty God. And here Solomon had everything, and then he lost everything, and Solomon comes to a place to know, listen, I've had it all and I've struggled. That's Solomon's whole story. I've had everything and I've struggled. And he lands, listen, the wisest man to ever walk the earth besides Jesus, after having everything, but yet struggling, he comes to a place in Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14. I want you to read it. It's on your screen. The conclusion, he says, when all is said and done, when all has been heard, this is it. Fear God. Fear God. Walk in this holy reverence of God, reminded that he is holy, that he is completely separate from anything that is sinful, everything that is dark, and everything that is defiling. God separates himself because he's holy. God hates sin. So much so, watch this, man, so much so that he put his own son on a cross to pay for sin. Then who are you and I to come to a place to say sin's acceptable? Who are you and I to come to a place to say it's okay to abort? It's okay for two gay men to be married, two gay women to be married. It's okay to be greedy. It's okay to be self-centered. It's okay to be lazy. What happens when you walk in a place to know that God's love for us is so deep and so amazing that he sacrificed his son for sin, that I want to call sin, sin. In my own life, I want to call sin, sin. Come on, church, hear this, please. We can't play around with popular opinion in the church. We can't play around with popular opinion in the church if you want real revival. If you want fluff, that's what you're going to get. Fluff is great on peanut butter. Man, I love my peanut butter and fluff sandwich. But that's about as far as fluff goes. Man, I want to walk in a place of faith to never be okay with sin. Come on, put that verse back up, please, because there's so much more in that verse. I want you to see it, please. I want you to see it. It's coming back to your screen. Ecclesiastes 12. I want you to see it. Look at this. Look what it says. Look what it says. The conclusion is, when all has been heard, man, the end of the day is this. Fear God and keep his commandments. What does God say about it? Keep his commandments, because this applies to every person. Listen, I love that, man. I don't get a pass, and you don't get a pass. The nation doesn't get a pass. The governor doesn't get a pass. Politics don't get a pass. Public view doesn't get a pass. This applies to every person, for God will bring every act into judgment. This is real. Oh, yes, God loves us. And that is such a popular message, and it should be, because it's the scripture, because he is love. But love corrects, and love rebukes sin, and love comes to a place that you and I would know that God is going to bring every act into judgment. At the end of the day, fear God, keep his commandments, and know this applies to every person. Everyone who's ever had breath, it applies to. Because watch this, God will bring every act into judgment. Everything which has been hidden, whether it is good or evil. And that is God's word. from the wisest man who ever walked on the planet besides Jesus, inspired by the Holy Spirit to write. Listen, listen, listen. Church, if we want a real movement in this thing, there has to be a call in our nation to repentance. There has to be. There has to be. And so many areas that what happens if just we went from being a fan to a true follower, to a believer, to say it's time to stand our ground against sin because we love people. Please hear this, because if we present something that's so fluffy and you've bought into the fluff when we get high ratings and people want to watch and it's so good and blah, 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 and it's just been nothing but fluff, and you stand before God one day and you hear, depart from me, for I never knew you. That's because we preach fluffy messages. And we got to speak truth. Matthew 7, it's amazing. We'll close with this. Oh, man, come on. Lean into this right here. Matthew 7, this is an incredible portion. It's one of those portions I think a lot of people kind of want to remove this thing and just kind of put it in dark and forget about it. But this is a very real deal. Verse 21, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. Watch this. But he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven will enter. Many will say to me on that day, Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And in your name cast out demons? And in your name perform many miracles? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me. Watch this. You who practice lawlessness, or you who practice iniquity, or watch this. What is he saying? Listen, for those who refuse to call sin, sin, for those who just continue to walk in a place of public opinion and popular opinion, those workers of iniquity, those workers of sin, those workers of lawlessness, those who want to call me Lord but not obey the commandments. It's huge. Those who want to call me Lord, Lord, and say, listen, I've done all this stuff in your name. Yeah, but you didn't get repentance. You didn't get the bottom line of the message. Jesus himself, repent and believe. And listen, the word repent, it means you need to change your mind towards sin. And that's narrow-minded. Call me narrow-minded. I love it. I am narrow-minded because I'm on the narrow path. Call me narrow-minded. We're called to stay focused. I don't want a broad view. I want that narrow view. And I want the people who would call me pastor to be focused. And anyone who ever hears this message to be focused, not on the broad way, because that leads to eternal destruction, but be narrow-minded on truth. Because this is a very real moment. This is a very real moment of what's going to take place to many, watch this, to many who are fans of Jesus. Many who thought they were right. But I did this, and I did that, and I did this. It was actually even in your name. Yeah, but you didn't get sin. You didn't understand why I died. It's for sin. We are called to repent. If you want a movement, it's repentance. And it starts home. And it starts individually. And it starts in one place with you. Right where you're at. You come to this place. God, forgive me. I repent. I change my mind towards sin. I want to walk in the fear of you. I want to keep your commandments, God. That's who I want to be. So that there's a day. Watch this. Watch this. Watch this. It gets better, though. Here we go. Here we go. That's the bad news. Let me give you the good news for the followers, not the fans. Listen, verse 21, 22 have to do with the fans. Verse 24, watch this, watch this. Verse 21, 22, and 23, highlight that as the fans. 24 and 25, listen, this has to do with the followers. Therefore, watch this, here it is, here it is. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them, I love that. here's his, the words of his right here. These are his words. What does the Bible say? I don't care what your parents say. I don't care what your friends say. I don't care what the school says. I don't care what politicians say. I don't care what popular view says. What does Jesus say? What does the Bible say? Be narrow-minded on this. Focus. Focus. Therefore, I love it. Here's the good news. The followers, everyone. Come on, are you a part of the everyone? Everyone who hears these words of mine and acts on them may be compared to a wise man who built his house on the rock. Watch this, verse 25. And the rain fell, the floods came, the winds blew, slammed against the house, and yet it did not fall, for it had been founded on the rock. I love it. Man, you and I, followers of Christ, ones who walk in obedience to his truth, ones who understand what it means to repent, ones who don't care about the popular view. Jesus says, in that day, for those who've heard my words and acted on them, when the storms come, man, you will be firm and you will be founded on the rock. When the winds come, when the waves come, when the rain comes and just slams against your house, there you stand, unfazed. Watch this now, come on, unfazed, stable. Why? Because you've been founded on the rock, and that's Jesus. Come on, where are you in this? Honestly, where are you in this? Because we're in a crazy season, and I want to take every inch of advantage of this season to say, God, that you would allow us to have a movement through this. God, that we would see people make a shift from just being your fans, being fluffy. Yet they'd buy into your love, but they wouldn't buy into repentance. You can't have one without the other. Man, I want to see us come to a place to repent and then believe. It was based on his love that he sent his son to die on a cross. I'm not going to spit in his face and say sin is okay when it cost him his own son. I refuse. Can I ask you, where are you in this? You come to a place, right now you come to a place to say it's over. I'm done being a fan. It's time to stand firm on the narrow path and not care what anyone else thinks. Because when the wind comes and the rain comes and the waves come and they slam against my house, because we have founded ourselves on the rock, because we've walked in obedience to his commands, we will not be shaken. My house will stand. One of you would just bow your heads as we just pray. And the team is just going to lead us into another song as we close out, man. Powerful, powerful morning. Are you with me, please? Are you with me in a sense of it's time for a movement? And a movement starts with repentance. The narrow way. The narrow-minded. I'm really good with that. I'm okay by being called that. But you come to a place, just bow your heads, man, hear this, man, wherever you're at, whenever you watch this message, wherever you're at, man, do you know Christ as Lord and Savior, as Lord? The Bible says, confess that he is Lord. That means he's master. That means I come to him on his terms. I haven't set the terms. I'm a nobody. I have no right to try to set terms. And amazing that Adam and Eve set the table for everybody. We all swim in the same pond of sin. We all swim in the same pond of sin. Adam and Eve set the table for us. But we need to repent from sin and turn to Jesus Christ as Lord. There is hope in Jesus. He's the only one that can bring life and life eternal. He's the only one that can build true peace and true hope and true joy within your spirit when you come to a place to say, I'm no longer going to be a fanhood, but I'm going to be a follower. no longer going to be in a place. Lord, I like it when things are going good, but when there's things that I want to follow popular view, then you became a fan. Where are you in this? For God did so love the world. He loves the world. He gave his only begotten Son, that whoever, come on, it's all, whoever believe in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Are you in that? Do you know that? Have you come to a place, say, God, it is my sin that has separated me from you. And God, I need Jesus. God, I need you, not because I'm a fan of all that he did and his miracles, but I need to be a follower based off of my surrender to who you are. I confess in this moment that you are Lord. You are Lord. And I take a knee to you. And I confess that you are my master. And I confess that you are sir. And I confess that you are my Lord. And I submit myself to you. And I surrender to you. Come on, if you're in this place of hearing this, man, if you're in this place that your eyes are open and your spirit is tender, and you know, watch this, please hear this. You know that God by his spirit has drawn you in. Don't miss this moment. That wherever you're at, you come to a place to repent from sin and confess your sin and say, Jesus, you're the only way. Come on, bow your heads and you come to this place to say, Jesus, you're the only way. Listen, I don't care how old you are. Maybe there's young kids listening right now. Maybe it's your children that need to hear this. Maybe it's you who need to hear this. Maybe it's mom. Maybe it's dad who needs to grip this thing. Maybe it's a college student. Whoever you are, at whatever age, in this moment right now, you come to a place, say, Jesus, forgive me. I repent of my sin. I acknowledge that Jesus, it is only by your name. And in this moment, watch this, in this moment, I call out the name of Jesus. Just say that out loud. Jesus, Jesus, save me. Say that out loud, whatever age, wherever you're at, Jesus, save me. Forgive me of my sin. I repent and I believe that Jesus, you are the only way. I confess that you are Lord. Say that, Jesus, you are Lord. Jesus, you are Master. Jesus, you are my King. I confess that you are Lord and I surrender. Can you just simply say, I surrender? Not my way, not on my terms, but on your terms, I surrender. In Jesus' name, come on, amen.